in this practice of vipassana meditation, translated usually insight meditation, a more literal translation would be looking deeply or seeing deeply. So seeing deeply meditation, looking deeply into the nature of our experience. So in insight meditation, it's often described as having two streams of teachings, and one of the streams has to do with calming the mind, collecting the mind, steadying the mind, and enabling the mind, training the mind, and developing the mind so that it can look deeply into the nature of our experience, so it has the capacity to be clear and steady and attentive as we turn to investigate, explore the nature of the body, the nature of the mind, the nature of life, the nature of our experience, in the service of becoming free, in the service of becoming free from the suffering that limits us. So that's what the Buddha was all about, was helping, discovering for himself and then teaching how we can liberate ourselves, release ourselves from the habits that perpetuate suffering in our lives. And so this division into two kind of streams of practice is perhaps a bit too oversimplifying, because really as we calm the mind, insight arises, and as we develop this capacity to collect our attention, to collect the mind, to be more present in our lives, the kinds of habits of grasping onto experience, grasping onto things that we think will make us happy, and trying to get rid of things that we think are causing our unhappiness. These, we see through these just through calming the mind. So I'm going to talk today. I'm going to emphasize talking about this practice called samatha, which means tranquility, and samatha, samadhi, basically the same word. And we're going to learn some practices to cultivate tranquility, calmness, well-being. I've been reading a book recently by a teacher named Ron Berbia. He's the resident teacher at Gaia House, which is kind of one of the sister retreat centers, study and practice centers of the Insight Meditation Society in Barre, Massachusetts, and Spirit Rock in California, and True North Insight, Young and Humble as we are, we're in that family too, and so Gaia House is one of the early centers that began for the practice and development of Vipassana. And so so I've been very inspired by the way that he presents the teachings, and so I just want to express a bow of respect and gratitude and acknowledgement that that some of the ways, many of the ways I'll be expressing the teachings have been inspired by what he's been saying. And so one of the things that that Rob emphasizes in his teachings is that everything that we take in about what we experience and what life is around us and who we are and how we're relating to the life around us is filtered through perceptions. So our perceptions are conditioned. Our perceptions, perception—it's a very, it's a very key teaching in the Dharma. It's very basic in that, you know, we, our senses, for example, like we have a certain range of light that we're able to sense. We don't sense all the light there is. And so our sense perception, just even seeing, is already conditioned by the limitations of our bodies, what we can see, what we can hear. You know, any of you who live with animal companions, know that, they'll hear something that we don't hear, or they'll smell something that we can't smell. And so, there's so just even that very basic experience of perception is conditioned by bodies that we have, and then it's also conditioned by our experiences, our upbringing, our social conditioning, our education, and so on. So we're always interpreting everything that's arising moment by moment, and one of the and some of the conditioning factors that are conducive to suffering is that when our perceptions are conditioned by grasping, or conditioned by aversion or hatred, or conditioned by confusion or ignorance, like not wanting to know, not wanting to see, not wanting to understand, so kind of a turning away. So these are conditioning our perceptions all the time. And so one of the ways we can understand the Dharma is that we are learning skillful ways, liberating ways of perceiving, training our perceptions. And so many of the samatha practices, and of course the insight practices as well, can be understood in this way. So in the basic samatha practice, we take an object of meditation, and most often it's in the way I teach, and many teachers teach, it's the sensation of the breath, just feeling the breath. And so, so we're training the mind to attend, to let go of the busyness, the restlessness, the drivenness, the compulsions of the conditioned mind, and we're training the mind to attend and to become more stable in a particular object or in a field, in a particular field. And so there's a really important learning that happens in this practice of samatha, training samatha. And that learning is that, you know, all of the habits of the mind, the busyness of the mind, all the compulsive problem solving that we do, figuring it out, you know, that's not gonna bring us to a sense of well-being and presence and a feeling of an experience of integrity within ourselves. So we can let that go, and we can learn to stabilize in the present moment with a present moment experience of breathing, feeling the breath. And as I mentioned last night, it's also okay to use other present moment experiences, such as feeling the body or hearing sounds, because sometimes it doesn't work for one reason or another to kind of just connect in the body. So we really learn to work gently and respectfully with what feels right for ourselves, and we can learn to maybe work through whatever kind of resistance or obstructions come up. And if there are no experienced obstructions to being with the breath in the body, then that's a good way forward, a good approach. So in bringing our attention, collecting our attention around the breath, we are collecting the energies of the mind, collecting the energies of the awareness in the body. And so we do this by really bringing an interest, bringing a curiosity to how is the breath manifesting in the body? And exploring that, you know, just really feeling, you know, what is the texture of the breath? What is the length of the breath? What is the depth of the breath? Is it shallow? Is it deep? Does it feel constricted? Does it feel relaxed? And it's not that we're trying to perfect the breath. It's not that we're trying to find a perfect kind of breath. It's that we're just really getting close to the breath, getting interested, kind of immersing ourselves in the breath. And the breath is a, generally, it's kind of a neutral, calming object, because it comes and goes on its own, and it has its own rhythm. It's always there, and so we can relax into just collecting our attention around the breath. And this unfolds, this practice unfolds. The Buddha taught, one of the key discourses on mindfulness that the Buddha taught was the Anapanasati Sutta, which just simply means mindfulness. Sati is mindfulness, or awareness, or bringing our awareness to remembering. And anapana means breathing in and breathing out. The one thing that's interesting about the words ana and pana, breathing in, breathing out, is that in these words, it has a similar meaning to the word prana. It comes from the same root. And prana, some of you know from yoga practice, is this life energy that is pointed to. So I find it quite interesting that embedded in the words anapana, there's a sense of the breath, which is not just something, you know, materialistic. We have a very materialistic worldview in the 21st century, very, very science-based. There's something which is more than that, that is being alluded to or included in the word anapana sati. So it's something about connecting, breathing in the life energy and breathing out that energy, and a kind of a flow and a renewal and a connection to life around us. And of course, we can't really know what the kind of understandings were of the Buddha, that at the time of the Buddha, but we can perhaps recognize that they weren't the same as ours, and that the assumptions that we bring to what breathing is are different, and they were different for the Buddha. What is breathing? And that breathing itself is something that connects us in a very profound way to all of life. So, you know, maybe we can open up our understanding of what breathing is. Maybe not fixing on a new kind of view, but rather just allowing the view we have of what breathing is to become more open-ended and curious, and allowing something of mystery, not knowing, not fixing in our ideas on what it is, to be part of it. So this collectedness of mind, which is samatha, samadhi, is also characterized by a quality of well-being that is cultivated in the body and mind. Because we're letting go, the implicit in the practice is a letting go of driven states, compulsive states of mind, drivenness to grasp, drivenness to resist, push away, to try to control everything. And so there's a calming, a tranquility, and a joy that arises in the practice. So one useful way to think about this samatha practice is really a deep caring for the body and mind. It's like a wholesome caring for the body and mind, and a development of body and mind. So I think I'll stop talking about what samatha is, samatha practice is, and I'll lead a guided practice. So if you want to take a moment to release your posture, and you could stand up for a moment if you like. If you find you're feeling sleepy, feel free to practice standing up, or you can open your eyes. It's pretty normal for on the first day of a retreat to feel tired, because we come from quite busy lives, and many of us have traveled to get here. So balance. See if you can balance kind of the caring for yourself and resting. And energizing yourself, and kind of showing up, taking time to rest, and then when you are practicing, just bring that kind of arouse the energy, just lift in the spine, and open your eyes, and stand up if that's helpful. Thank you. So please take a posture that feels stable and balanced and easeful. So if you're sitting cross-legged, I'll just say a word about posture now, and then maybe a bit more at the end. But if you're sitting cross-legged, it's good if your knees are resting on the mat. And if they're not, then you might need to sit higher, or you could put a cushion under one of your knees or both of your knees to support them. We have some equipment there on the side there, so feel free to go even right now and get a cushion to lift yourself up if you need to. And there are also some benches, so if you find sitting cross-legged is not that comfortable for you, then you can try a bench. If you find that sitting on the floor is really challenging, then by all means, shift to a chair. Maybe just the bigger cushion would be good. Yeah, it takes some experimentation, and you sort it out after a while. So two essentials of posture: balance, stable, and a sense of ease in the posture. So that there's a quality of nobility. The Buddha called the practitioners of his teachings noble ones. And there's something noble in the posture. There's a quality of ease. We don't want to be struggling all the time with the posture. And also part of that nobility and ease is the lifting through the spine, the straightness of the posture, to the extent that your body allows. So bringing, lifting through the spine, through the crown of base of the spine, through the crown of the head. And if you're sitting in a chair, and you find that you can allow the spine to be self-supporting rather than leaning into the back of the chair, then that can be helpful for alertness and the energizing of the spine. And if you have back issues, then by all means, lean into the back of the chair if you need to. And so as we feel into the body, we're aware of the shape of the body sitting. We can feel the breath. And bring your attention to just that experience, a simple experience of feeling the in-breath and the out-breath. Notice where you sense the breath. Notice where the breath is showing up in your awareness. Where in the body? And feel the whole in-breath, the end of the in-breath that turns into the out-breath, the beginning, middle, end of the out-breath, the end of the out-breath, and the space before the next in-breath. Let your breathing collect the scattered attention of the mind. An image that the Buddha used for this practice is like kneading dough. He actually talked about kneading bath powder into a ball. Powder was mixed with water. We don't do that so much anymore, but we need maybe a more familiar image. Would be kneading dough, gathering all the dry ingredients and mixing them together with the moist ingredients. And so gathering all the scattered bits of the mind and kneading, pulling them in to connect with the breath, with the body, with the feeling in the body. Anapanasati Sutta, the Buddha instructed, as we bring our attention to the breath and feel it in the body, we begin to bring our attention into the whole body. So this is, so I'm pointing to a kind of development, and I invite you to explore how this opens up for you. That we begin by collecting the attention with the breath, gathering the attention, the awareness, with this meditation object of the breath. Feeling it in the body. And then as the meditation, as the attention stabilizes, becomes more steady, the awareness can open up into the whole body. Sense of the whole body breathing. You may notice the quality of energy in the body. Notice if there's a quality of anxiety. Or uncertainty, confusion. It's okay. Just let it be. You may notice some quality of well-being. in some place in the body, perhaps, or some place that feels neutral, just kind of, it's okay. Or even perhaps something which is pleasant, like peace or joy. So you can notice that. Those places in the body where you feel neutral or content or ease can be a kind of a resting place, not a place of grasping, but a place of enjoyment. And at the same time, mindful of breathing. So part of the attention can be with the breathing, and part of the attention can be in the whole body. Or you can narrow it down to just being with the breath, if that feels more supportive to you right now. You can explore narrowing the attention to a more focused practice, feeling the whole breath and collecting the whole attention to follow the breath, and opening up to feel the whole body with the breath more on the periphery.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.